you turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, please? So, I get on my smartphone, and it doesn't really matter where I go on my smartphone. There's a lot of different ways I can get to checking my emails or messages that people are sending me. But almost any path that I take, there's some interaction I have with the news. And I go through one way or the other way or the other way. First, this news screen shows up. Most of the time, not all of the time, but most of the time, the news on the screen is just these little blurbs, and they're all like really bad things. Something like, you know, mother kills her own children. And if you probably saw that on yours this week, you know, bus crash. Lots of people died in a bus crash. And it goes on, day in and day out, day in and day out. And as we're now aware, because of the internet, we're connected to the whole world around us. You know, we have a lot of information that comes. And it's not like these bad things happen in your neighborhood every week, but all around the world, there's enough bad things that happen. You know, and a lot of them get published, and then you can read them. And it does kind of help you sort of see things from the eyes of God in a way, doesn't it? You know, because He's watching. He sees all the good things happening. He sees all the bad things happening. He cares about everybody involved in all of these things that are going on. But one of the things it does for me as a Christian is it just makes me realize, you know what, I'm not the only person who experiences challenges in his life. In fact, sometimes I feel a little bit guilty because the challenges that I face, you know, I feel a little down by them. Sometimes I get a little overwhelmed by them, bothered by them, impatient with them, all these different things. And sometimes it makes me feel a little bit guilty because when I go on to the internet, I immediately find a list of people who have challenges that are far greater than the ones that I have in my life. But still, all in all, that does not take away from the fact that I do feel the impact of my own challenges in my own life. And how about you? Are you feeling any impact from challenges or hardship that you have in your life right now? You probably are. Even if this is a really great time in life for you, and life has its really great times and slow times and, you know, all the things in between, but even if it is, there always seem to be some hardships and challenges that we are facing in our life. And what I like about the book of Philippians is that it is a book that is written by a person who's in the middle of a great challenge, and it's written to a group of Christians who are also in the middle of an incredible challenge. And this book has been my favorite book of the Bible since I was a little kid. It's stuck with me because it's always really connected with me. But you think about Paul, the author of the book, you know, he writes the book while being imprisoned. So that's a challenge. Now, it's difficult to be imprisoned, but it's even more difficult to be imprisoned when you really haven't done anything wrong. You know, when the people are just angry at you because of your zeal for God. And it makes it more of a challenge, right? He's writing it to people in a church who are going through a lot of suffering, and they're being persecuted because of their faith as well. And so that is the whole context of the book of Philippians right there. A guy who's imprisoned, writing the people who are being persecuted. For example, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Okay, so Paul is in chains because of the gospel of Christ. Now, look at verse 29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now here that I still have. The brothers and sisters in Philippi are suffering because of their faith. That's what's going on here. And so this then begs the question, as a Christian, How do I respond to hardship in my life? There are all kinds of ways to respond when we deal with hardship and difficulty and pain and suffering. But as a Christian, how am I to respond? And that's what the book of Philippians partially is about, just helping us how to understand how do we respond to the hardships that we have in our lives. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Let's read that. Therefore, well, first of all, let's read Philippians 1, verse 27. Paul says to them, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come or see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit. So what's the point here? Paul's going through hardship. They're going through hardship. Still, in the midst of all of this, continue to conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Okay? Now, these next two scriptures are the ones that explain to us what does it mean to conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. You know, so the first thing that he told them to do was they need to remember everything that they have in Christ. You know, so as I'm dealing with the hardships and difficulties in my life, I need to take time to remember everything that I have in Christ. I think it was last week, it was Psalm 103. We won't read it today, but Psalm 103 is that psalm that teaches us, you know, do not forget God's benefits. And it's a whole scripture that talks about His benefits. Here in Philippians, it says His benefits, encouragement, comfort, love, His tenderness, and compassion. While I'm in the midst of difficulty, hardship in my life, what do I focus on? What do I think about? I need to remember the benefits that I have for being in Christ Jesus. And this is vital because when I go through hard times, it's easy for me to then become a very grumpy kind of person. You know, not a joyful person, but a grumpy kind of person. Now, it doesn't take a lot of hardship for me to become grumpy. All I have to do is get hungry. I get hungry, I become grumpy. That's a little hardship, right? But I become grumpy when I get hungry. All I have to do is become tired. You know, that's the two things. Tired, hungry, grumpy. Right there for me. I mean, my daughter, she'd always be like, Dad, I think you need to eat some food right now. You know, I'd be like, you're right. I need to eat some food now before, you know, anything worse happens. And it didn't take a lot of hardship to get me to become grumpy. But here, the Bible isn't saying, hey, since you're going through so much hardship, then I get it. Of course you're going to be grumpy, rude to one another. Of course you're not going to treat each other well. Hey, I understand. You're going through hardship. No, it doesn't say that at all. It says, remember all of the good things you have in Christ so that you will treat each other properly. If you ever played sports, if you're on a team, have you ever been playing a game with your team and then like things weren't going well and your team's getting beat up? What is the biggest temptation for the team to do? Turn on each other. They start turning on each other. You know, snapping at each other, yelling at each other, getting grumpy. You know, I've had teammates literally walk away. I'm like, well, that's going to help, you know. Let me just walk away, upset, because we weren't winning. Things weren't going our way. The temptation for us in our hardship and in our difficulty is to start turning on each other and devour one another. And this is definitely, absolutely what Satan wants us to do. He loves the hardship. He wants the hardship to cause us to turn against each other. God wants the hardship to cause us to turn to God, to remember all that we have in our relationship with Jesus and use that to compel us to treat each other in the way that Christ treats us. You know, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In humility, value others above yourselves. What's the context? They're being heavily persecuted. But while you're being heavily persecuted, in humility, value others above yourselves. Do not look after your own interests, but also look out for the interests of others. What's the temptation when things are going wrong and things are hard? Circle the wagons. And how big is that circle? Well, it's like right around my shoulders, right here. Circle the wagons around me and take care of me, you know, first. No. He's saying, no, take care of each other. You know, gather everybody together, love one another, consider each other's interests. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. That is very powerful, right? Number one, how does God want me to deal with the hardships and difficulties in my life? First, remember all the good I have in Christ. Because when I remember that, it helps me to be able to do this other part, which is to love my brothers and sisters and love the people around me in spite of what I'm going through. The second way we respond to hardship as disciples is found in Philippians 2, verse 12. It's another therefore. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. That's very, very powerful right there. Continue to obey and continue to learn is what he's telling them to do. Continue to obey and continue to learn. And there's a few things that he says here too, like, you know, even in my absence, continue to obey. Because this is human nature that we're very tempted to sort of live this way. When we're around certain people, we tend to be on our best behavior. You know, but when we're not around those people, then we may not be on our best behavior anymore. You know, so maybe if you belong to a family group, you have friends in your family group, and when you get together and meet with your family group, everyone's going to see the best you that there is. You're going to be in your best behavior. Even if you're going through hardships, difficulties, challenges, whatever, you're going to walk in there, hey, wow, it's really been raining a lot lately. Talk about the weather, you know. Refuse to get deep with one another or be honest with one another. Not let people see what's going on and be able to help us and minister to us. And not let people know what's happening in our life. And just to be on our best behavior. But then we go away when we're not with them. And then this is where we just let our sin come out. Because we're discouraged or we're disappointed. Or the hardship is bearing down on us. Or our sufferings, our struggles are bearing down on us. But what Paul was saying here was like, no, no. In my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Keep on obeying as you've always obeyed. Keep on doing it, whether I'm there or whether I'm not there. Continue to obey. See, a big temptation for all of us when we go through hardship is to give ourselves a free ticket to not obey God. And it's okay, I lost my temper. Yeah, but I've been going through some hardships, you know. I'm no longer sharing my faith with anybody. Yeah, but things have been tough lately, you know. I'm no longer living out whatever it is that God has already taught me. You know, we're here as Christians or people learning how to become Christians, and we have different degrees of experience and knowledge. What the Bible always tells us to do, and what Paul said in Philippians to them was, just at least live up to what you've already attained. So yeah, you're going through hardship. But don't go backwards. Okay? I know it's hard for you right now. But still, live up to what you've already attained. What you know, what God has taught you. Continue to be faithful and to obey Him. I mean, if you're like me, it's very tempting to make excuses not to obey God. The things that I already know that I should be doing. I'm not talking about stuff I haven't learned yet. I'm just talking about what I already know. It's very tempting when I'm going through hardship. But what Paul said was, no, continue to obey. And not only continue to obey, but keep on learning. Keep working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. Keep on learning. You know, don't let yourself get to a point where you're just feeling so burdened by life that you're no longer capable of learning anymore, or you're no longer willing to learn anymore. In fact, well, I'm pretty sure if you read the book of Philippians, the idea that you get is that it's through the hardship and through the difficulty that a lot of us have the opportunity to learn the most, through the hardship and the difficulty. And I know that's been true for my life. But it's really a bummer. If we have to have hardship in our life, which we will, Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble. If we have to have hardship in this life, we might as well get something good out of it. Amen. Now, because if we stop obeying, we stop loving our brothers and sisters, we stop growing, we just let it have all this impact that it really doesn't have to have in our life, what benefit do we really get from the hardship in the first place? What benefit? We lose any good that might come from it. You know, and some things, really, some things are just so bad that the only possible good that is ever going to be squeezed out of it is what God teaches us through the suffering. That's it. Now, there's other things that are kind of sort of bad, but not so bad. But we all face hard things, too, that are just so bad. There really is no redeeming value. The only thing we have to hold on to is God's promise that He makes everything work out for the good for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Amen. We got to keep loving Him. Amen. Keep staying focused on His purpose. You know, keep being faithful to Him so that even some good can come out of the hardships that we face in our life. Amen. I think this is part of the secret that Paul is trying to help them understand. What's really interesting is when he starts the letter out, and again, he's like, oh man, you know, I've been imprisoned, but think about everything that's happened from me being imprisoned. You know, first of all, basically what he's saying is, everybody around me in this jail knows about Christ. I've made sure of it. You know, he got in there and he's like, it stinks being in here. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make something good come out of this with God's help, God's strength. He shares faith with all these people around him, you know, giving people a chance to learn the gospel. Hey, what's the chance that Paul was going to interact with these people anyway? Any other place but at prison. So he found a way to make good come out of the bad situation. But he did it by remembering the good that Christ has done for him and by obeying what Christ told him to do, even in an ugly situation. That's how he did it. Not only did that happen, but then people started hearing about it. And even right now, I'm hearing about it while we talk about it. It inspires me to think about this. You know, it motivates me to do better. Back in those days, people heard about it, and they thought, wow, think about what Paul's doing. This is awesome. And some of the people got more courage to go preach the Word of God more boldly because of the situation that Paul was in. So good was coming from it. God was making sure that good came from it. You know, so how do we respond to the hardships in our life? Well, we can become even more loving and more unified with each other, and we can be more obedient to God. And there was one other part of this scripture that is important too. The attitude actually matters. In verse 14, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Now, you know what? People will feel sorry for people who go through hardship. You can get a lot of pity from people when you're going through hardship. And if you're going through hardship and you get grumpy and you're complaining and you're fussing, people aren't going to blame you. They're going to be like, well, if I was in that position, I would do the same thing. But if you want to stand out for Jesus, you go through hardship and be joyful. You go through hardship and keep on loving and keep on obeying and keep on giving. And you don't complain. It says no grumbling or complaining. You know, instead, you go through hardship with a joyful spirit, a giving spirit. And then you will actually stand out like a star in the universe. Saturn has been up there. I know Saturn's not a star. It's a planet. I know that. But this month, Saturn has been up there most of the night You look up to the moon, you go around to the right, and there's Saturn. Just big, huge, giant, shiny-looking awesomeness, man. I love it. If you have good binoculars, you can see the rings. I mean, it's great. My neighbor lives across the street. He's an astronomer. And he has this gigantic, huge telescope. Probably like a $20,000 telescope. He's a very wealthy guy. And last year, the time of year when Saturn was out a lot, he was out there frequently with his telescope. So I used to always go over there and hang around him, you know, just, hey, that's a nice telescope over there you got. Wow, you're awesome, man. Look at that. Oh, you want to see? Sure, I guess. You know. And it was awesome. You could see Saturn, and then you could see other galaxies through his telescope. You could see a moon's going around Jupiter with his telescope. Really cool. He was in Buffalo this summer, so I just walked out and looked at Saturn. And it just stands out so much. And this is what we are. This is what Christ wants us to be. While we go through our hardship, our suffering, our difficulty, if we do it in a way where we're obedient to God, where we're joyful and we have a good spirit about it, where we remember not to mistreat other people, you know, we're still treating other people the way Christ would treat other people, then this is how we stand out. And people really notice this. This is the thing that can open the door of somebody's heart to hear the gospel of Jesus. And it's the same thing that can really encourage our brothers and sisters who might be struggling in their faith as well, shining like stars in the universe. But you do have to ask yourself, how am I ever going to get the motivation to be able to do this? It's just so much easier to get grumpy and frustrated and into myself and disobey God. It's just so much easier. You know, well, between these two teachings in Philippians, you know, in between, Paul writes the motivation. And not only does he write the motivation, it's also a very clear illustration of how to do what we're talking about today. Let's look at Philippians 2, verse 5. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I mean, the humility and the love that you see in Jesus here, it's astonishing. But just think about, how did he face the suffering? Number one, he kept in mind the benefits of his actions. You know, Paul was telling us and the people in Philippi, remember all the benefits you have in Christ. Well, Jesus is Christ, right? He wasn't remembering the benefits he had in him. He was remembering the benefits that we would have in him. He still remembered the benefits. What's going to happen if I do this? What's that going to mean for all these people? You know, there's no hope for anybody if I don't do this. But if I go through with this, if I deal with this suffering and this hardship in this way, then many, many, many souls are going to be saved. I'm going to be gathering so many people into my Father's kingdom for eternity. He was motivated by those benefits. The Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And scorned its suffering, I think, if I have that right. But it was the joy set before him that motivated him. Not only that, he was also extremely obedient to his Father in heaven. I mean, you talk about a tough time to be obedient. I mean, right up to the time you're about ready to get beaten and persecuted, and you're going to suffer greatly and be humiliated and be naked and be crucified and all this stuff. And there he is in the garden, and he's asking God, hey, you know, can't his Father in heaven, right? Is there any other way? Can we do this any other way? And the answer was no. No, you have to do this. This is what I need you to do. And what did Jesus do? He obeyed. He did it. He did it. I mean, he's the perfect example of what it looks like of how to deal with hardship and suffering in our life. You know, to continue to be motivated that the good that we have in Christ, and to continue to be obedient to God in the midst of our suffering. And what motivates me to do that? Well, there's really only one thing that can motivate me to do that, and that's what Jesus did for me. That's exactly what he did for me. Now, what does that mean for me? It means that I'm not going to spend eternity separate from God in hell. You know, I'm not going to do that. I don't have to do that because Jesus suffered for me. That's what it means for me. On the positive side, it means I am going to spend my eternity forever with God in heaven. That's what Jesus did for me. Okay? That's what this means to me. And so, when we're having this time of communion, most likely, many of us, throughout the week, we have had struggles and hardships. We have pains in our life, difficulties in our life, and challenges in our life. And Jesus wants us to remember what he did. And not just, you know, he had the blood, he had the body, but what does that mean? The love, the suffering, the sacrifice, the willingness, the obedience, the compassion that he has shown us through what he did for us, so it can motivate us. That's the reason for it. So it can motivate us to continue to be faithful to God when we go through our challenges of our life as well. Let's take this time to pray. While we come before you, Father, humbled, to be able to read the scriptures and talk about Jesus is an amazing privilege. Amen. And something that I personally do not deserve. And the fact that Jesus gave himself on the cross for my sin, that is just so awesome. I can even think this week, Father, of times when I wasn't rejoicing, of times when I didn't have a good attitude, of times when I didn't do the right thing. And there's the excuses that I can make because of challenges or hardships or being tired or being hungry even. Yet this is not what Jesus did. And Father, I am so grateful for the grace and the blood of Jesus forgiving me of my sin. And the fact that you don't hold my sin against me, but it does inspire me, and I do feel compelled to, I want to be better for you. I want to keep growing. I want to keep obeying. I want to keep loving. I want to have a great attitude. All these things I put before you, God, I know that I'm imperfect in all of them, but I put them before you today as we take this time to remember Jesus. Amen.